Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Braving Rhythm, is how I'm going to put it today.
Ooh, we're branching out.
We're branching out because we're going to be looking at different aspects of music, and we're going to start with rhythm. How do you feel about that?
So excited.
My name's JJ.
My name's Haz.
And this is part of the Braving the Stave series. I should say right from the get-go that we have a Spotify playlist.
Well done. Well done.
Straight in there with loads of, well, frankly, brilliant excerpts of music. Huge variety.
Weird, wonderful, comforting, everything.
So check out Braving the Stave on Spotify and you can follow along with these excerpts that we'll be featuring today and more. Mm. Haz, what is your relationship to rhythm generally?
I don't want to comment on it at this time. No, I think I've got better over the last couple of years. Just more sight reading that you do, or the more quick preparing for gigs where you're like, whoops, definitely should have spent more time on this, makes me better at playing, you know, complex rhythms, or just identifying little patterns that you're like, yeah, I know how this goes. But I ain't no percussionist when it comes to rhythm.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think out of all the aspects of music, all the parameters, rhythm is the hardest to read and write.
Yeah.
We feel rhythm so naturally in the body. And if I were to say, you know, just repeat that, no problem for anybody listening, I would wager. Mm-hmm. But try writing that down and that'll stump quite a few people.
Yeah. And I, you know, even just doing arrangements for string quartet or anything like that, you try and write what you think it is, then you play it back and you're like, oh no, that is not what I thought it was going to be on the page.
And some people get very particular about almost caging rhythm in that way when it comes to folk rhythms and folk sources generally.
Yeah, it's a feel.
It's a feel.
It's a feel. It's a vibe. I remember once trying to play a triplet in a masterclass with I think he's a jazz clarinetist, and he just literally rolled his eyes and he was like, oh, string players can't play triplets. It's true. We go duh, duh, duh.
So quite robotic and not relaxed enough.
It's like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. And that's not a triplet. They should be equals pequels every time.
The equal division of the beat. We're going to be talking quite technically, ladies and gentlemen, about various different aspects of rhythm. And I've got a list here. Syncopation, displacement, uneven meters, mixed meter, polyrhythm versus polymeter. We've got a lot to get through.
I mean, I only know two of those words, and I teach grade 8 theory, so this is going to be illuminating for me.
Tush, tush.
I know.
I don't believe you.
I literally know syncopation, I think, but can we start there just in case I don't?
We can. Can we start a step back from that, though, just to say that I don't know, because we both teach, whether you've noticed, I'm going to call it dysrhythmia in your pupils. I'm sure that's not a thing. But, you know, in the same way that some people struggle to read or to count, I do think there's a sort of increasing incidence of people who find even just keeping a pulse tricky.
Yes, and the difference between pulse and rhythm. And when I'm trying to teach something, I find that I put it usually into words like, get your hands off my butter, get your hands off my butter. Like that is it. Like that's a classic one at the moment. Or I taught my friend how to play this rhythm in an Irish party in third class. I'm angharad, I'm angharad, I'm angharad. Because that's easier than looking at the page and being like, okay, those blobs mean this sound.
Yes, I think it's interesting, isn't it, that with the increasing disconnect from the written word of music, if I can put it that way, that when you come to then to try and capture basic rhythms on the stave, there's an increased challenge there. But I think there's the other thing that I'm noticing within students is the propensity to rush, which is something that we all share as musicians. And I wonder whether it's something very human to have a natural sense of momentum that comes in once you repeat an idea and you get it so it's natural to the body. Then, you know, what you typically do is just speed up because it becomes part of your flow.
Mm-hmm. Don't rush. I mean, that's classic, isn't it? Don't rush. I've only said to a couple of people, so one pupil in particular, that was like, come on, let's keep it going. Because usually it's like, steady, steady. Oh my God, steady.
And
you're just trying to hold people back because they're like, I can do it. I can, you know, they want to prove that they can play it. They're like, I can do it. I can do it fast. And it's like, ah, well, you must be able to play it slow. And yeah,
it comes from a natural enthusiasm. I like that. I like that thought. Do you know, something that I prize as a conductor is being able to know and instinctively feel what a metronome marking should feel like and click. So should we just put that to the test?
Yeah, okay, without a watch.
I have here a metronome that I can play. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to click me 100 beats per minute, what you think that would be.
Lord, okay.
Now, I would say that is closer to 70.
And oh,
100
is
beats
it?
Is something more like that. Shall we see?
Go on.
Okay, this is quite exciting.
Oh,
I've got here 100 BPM. What does Google say? Ooh. I think it's pretty close. This is slightly slower than what I did.
Do you know what it is? It's because I'm preparing my pupils for exams. And they're like, is that the exam tempo? And I'm like, yeah, near enough. I'll be fine. Okay, you hit that dead on the mark. Well done.
Well, I'm proud of that. Thank you very much. But I think you could do that too. It's just out of context. So I just chucked you in the deep end.
I was thinking of minims.
Yes, there we go. Should we talk about syncopation? Let's start there.
Please, I wish you would.
Here is a piece that uses syncopation a lot.
I got rhythm, I got music, I got my man who could ask for anything more. I got daisies in green pastures, I got my man who could ask for anything more. Old man trouble, I don't mind him, you won't find him around my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams, I got my man who could ask for anything more, who could ask for anything more. I got rhythm, I got music, I got my man who could ask for anything more. I got daisies in green pastures, I got my man who could ask for anything more. Old man trouble, I don't mind him, you won't find him around my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams, I got my man who could ask for anything more, ask for anything more. I got rhythm, I got music.
That's Ella Fitzgerald with her version of Gershwin's I Got Rhythm.
That's swinging.
Isn't
that
amazing?
But we were both like nodding and clicking, but then I think for me as a seasoned viola player, offbeats are kind of my thing. Like, and you never see a viola player on an onbeat, and if you do, they've lost their place entirely.
It's such a common accompanimental figure, isn't it, within a quartet or wherever. And just to be clear, syncopation is that offbeatness. So a beat, cha 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 cha. And pretty much every single note in that song by Gershwin is off the beat. Da, da, dee, 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 dee. And what was brilliant is you hear the click at the beginning and then it goes. But Ella Fitzgerald has got such a strong pulse that when the big band comes back in, it is bang on. It reminds me of that. You know, what's that thing on? There's a Radio 4 comedy thing. Have I got, you know?
No, sorry, I haven't a clue, or something like that.
That's right.
And they have to keep on singing with the song, and then when the song comes back in, they should be in the same place.
Ella would absolutely nail that.
Yes, but I love that when that started. You assume that the click's going to be on the beat, and then when she comes in, your world kind of shifts, and you're like, oh, what am I doing here?
That's the beauty of syncopation. It often pulls the rug from under your ears. Mm. Let's put it that way. Mm. Mm. This is another example of syncopation, but from the world of classical orchestral music. It is Stravinsky's Firebird Suite, and it's the infernal dance that happens towards the end. And this is what happens when you combine syncopation with an accelerando. So it goes from 1-2-3 into 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. And it's really exciting. Thank you.
I just feel like it's fizzing with energy.
Yes, and that's partly how he's orchestrated it and how the percussion is used and lots of other factors, but at the heart of it is how he treats rhythm.
Yeah, I remember practicing this really, really, really hard in college and just practicing it so slowly with a metronome, so like like that, and then but you can't really train your metronome to a cello with you, so you can only do it really, really quickly or really, really steadily, sort of, you know, getting there. And then, you know, when you're in the orchestral setting, that's why it's so amazingly exciting, because you can only do it in situ with everyone else at the same time. And it, yeah, it's amazing.
Is the metronome your friend?
Yeah, yes, definitely, massively. And I find that it's almost like meditation when you're practicing. Just from the moment you start open strings or really slow scales, and then you can start the trickier passages in your music, slowly build it up until you feel like you can play it amazingly. Put yourself then in an orchestra and it all goes to pot. Playing Harry Potter recently, thought I could play it, could I? Nope. Nope.
Something I say to students is you can't start your practice until, say they're at the piano, say, until you've got your pencil out and you've got your metronome out. And now you're ready to start, because you need to have your allies there to help you through the next hour.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Because otherwise the temptation is to be like, yeah, I've done that now. And it's like, nope, you've done it once and you've barely scraped by. All my pupils, or two of them now, have a metronome app on their phone, which I made them download. It's important. It's important to have. And then you can only blame yourself if you're out of time then.
Yes. And the metronome brings focus to so many other areas. That's the good thing, is that when you have your pulse absolutely secure, that frees the brain, doesn't it, to look at other aspects of what you're expressing.
Yeah.
So syncopation is, I suppose, one expression of displacing the beat. I thought we could listen to other forms of displacement where you take in an entire phrase and you just sneak it in before the bar line. So you displace it in the sense of you put it in a place where the ear would not naturally sense it should be. Mm. Again, let's look at Gershwin. You can guess what I'm about to play.
Yeah, some Gershwin.
This is Fascinating Rhythm.
This is when I say fascinating rhythm, you've got me on the go. Fascinating rhythm, I'm all a quiver. What a mess you're making, the neighbors want to know why I'm always shaking just like a flivver. Each morning I get up with the sun.
That was Sarah Vaughan.
Beautiful.
I love her voice.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous.
You know, are you an Ella fan or a Sarah Vaughan fan? Can you be both?
Yeah,
I think you can be both.
Yeah, both. I love Sarah Vaughan's Lullaby of Birdland, but this is one of my favourites as well.
So what you've got there is quite a slow pulse, but you can hear the cross rhythms in how she's taken that phrase and put it against a very clear swing beat.
Yeah, it's on the beat, but it's still jolting in a way, isn't it? Like, yeah, not what you expect to hear.
And that's part of the joy of listening to it. I just wanted, by contrast, to play you the same song, but up-tempo now, this time sung by the crooners Tony Bennett and Diana Krall.
Lovely.
And the big difference is that the push beats are actually accompanied by a drum push as well. So rather than going against the beat and being a sort of an obvious cross rhythm against a steady pulse, everybody's starting the phrase together in the same way. It's a subtle thing, but it changes the nature of this displacement.
Fascinating rhythm, you got me on the go. Fascinating rhythm, I'm all a quiver. What a mess you're making, the neighbors want to know why I'm always shaking just like a flivver. Each morning I get up with the sun to find that night no work has been done.
I know that once it didn't matter, but now you're doing wrong when you start to patter. I'm so unhappy. Won't you take a day off, decide to run along somewhere far away off and make it snappy? Oh, how I long to be the girl I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, oh, won't you start picking on me?
Yeah, that's almost more dancey.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, isn't it? Just to hear everybody in on the joke, almost. I like that tempo as well. I think that suits... I mean, both tempi work for different reasons, but it's just how much are you going to emphasise the displaced beat is the question.
So the displacement is the coming in altogether in a different place than it...
Yes, then you would naturally... So we're not coming in on a downbeat of a I want to treat, but it's against that and how the lines work. I mean, he's such a genius, Gershwin,
isn't
he?
Yeah.
So I believe you have something rather Bulgarian to share with me.
Yeah. Now, so this is Kaval Sviri. Bulgarians, comment if I'm not saying that correctly. But this is something I had to find online after hearing it on a documentary somewhere. And I had to find the score because it drove me mad trying to work out the time signature. And I could not. And do you know the time signature for this?
Well, there are different... signatures involved.
Yeah.
We've now moved on from syncopation and displacement to carnage. The whole... well, carnage it might be for us Western ears. But this whole question of uneven time signatures. And it's interesting, actually, that Bulgarian folk music is the most complex of all the Balkan folk musics because they use 5s, 9s, 7s, 11s in a additive way. They combine these time signatures, so they don't even stay in one time signature for that long necessarily. I've written down here you can have 18/16, so that's 18 semiquavers in a bar divided into 7 plus 11, or 22/16 divided into 9 plus 13. And this piece, Kaval Sviri, I think is in 9 for quite a lot
9/16,
right? But divided into 4 plus 2 plus 3. Is that right?
I don't even know what that
flips
is.
Flips around a lot.
Yeah, I don't even... so many car journeys and like whoever sat next to me, I think it was like an ex at the time, whatever, I was like, no, you're singing it wrong. Like, turn it back. We gotta go. And like missing our exit on the motorway. Just be like, no.
So apparently the way the Bulgarian singers and players feel it is in terms of quick, slow. They're not counting it in any way. They won't say, this is in 9. They're just thinking slow, quick, slow. You know, so it might be a 4 plus 2 plus 3, 1 2 3 4 5
and it's dancey and it's a feel. That's why, like, when I was watching this young choir perform it on TV and I was like, they were all together perfectly, much more than if they were all reading it from the score. It sounds together amazingly.
And there's a name for this feel within the Bulgarian folk music tradition and circles. In fact, they borrow it from Turkey, and it's the Turkish word aksak, A-K-S-A-K, aksak. I don't know if I'm pronouncing
aksak.
That right.
Aksak.
And it means limping. So it builds into the whole mood of the piece, the fact that you've got this uneven rhythm, and that's at the heart of it.
That's so cool.
Let's have a listen.
Yeah.
Giddy aunt.
I know, quick levels test, because I did just get so excited that my microphone just fell off the table. Sorry.
I think it's looking good.
Okay.
we could just listen to that in so many different ways. I mean, just thinking about the harmonies they use, the tone, the brightness of the sound. There's just so much to enjoy about that.
But the rhythm, I think, is the most impressive. It's so tight and it's so... They're singing as like one unit. It sounds like a synth and it's amazing.
So what we heard there was everything chucked into the kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. Basically, we've got syncopation, definitely that offbeat quality. We've got uneven meters, so it's in 9, but then we've got mixed meters because we're going from one time signature to another. Whoever transcribed that deserves a medal.
Yes, amazing. And it's like there's a version on YouTube that you can see the script of the music going past as well. And if you do want to follow on, you know, along with that, then yeah, all power to you.
Which set of instruments, if you were to transcribe that for a small ensemble of instruments, what would you choose?
I'd love to try it as a string quartet.
Really?
Because I feel like it's one of those ones where you can have the same power of each voice, because I think it's really important to have, it's like a choir sound. Or maybe, I mean, I'd hate this, I'd literally hate it, but saxophones.
I was just about to say saxophones.
I
was, because of the quality of the tone and how bright it gets right at the end. Stunning singing as well, just in terms of the intonation. That was the mystery of the Bulgarian voices. They call themselves Le Mystère des Voix Bulgares. Mm. And you can find that on YouTube and we shall post it on our Spotify playlist. So, I mean, where can we go from there? I thought we could look at the whole issue of displacement from a more modernist perspective in music. We left off with Stravinsky. We go, I don't know, 20, 30 years later, we're in the world of Steve Reich and minimalism. I thought we could listen to a beautiful rhythmic texture that uses phasing, so displacing the entries of each instrument in a really imaginative and deeply funky way. This is overlapping electric guitar sounds played on this recording by Pat Metheny, and it's called Electric Counterpoint, and this is part 3. Treasures we're swapping. I feel this is a multiple treasure swap episode.
Yeah, and that was really hypnotic. I was just listening to that. We both went into our own, you know, little world there. But yeah, that you can feel the different layers coming and going around in a cycle.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone's ever been stuck in traffic and tried to, you know, watch their indicator go and the car in front. If that's a little bit quicker, you can watch it do a full cycle. It'll be like 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, and then suddenly it'll be 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Do you know, all this is doing for me is making me want to go on a road trip with you.
Yes. No, you don't.
Endless fun from Bulgarian sort of backtracks to, yeah, watching indicators.
Yeah, but like, shh, everyone be quiet. We need to watch these indicators face.
That's actually quite cool. I am actually going to do that.
Yeah, it's really good fun. I mean, a lonely life, I mean, but
we've just been listening, I suppose, not just to an interesting rhythmic texture, and it is about how he builds that texture with various different sounds. You've got a couple or three electric guitars, I can't remember the score, but then you get the acoustic sound, you've got the sort of the bass sound coming in as well. So it's partly the tonal variety that makes it so interesting, but it's mainly about the displacement of each idea. They're saying the same thing, but at slightly different times, mm-hmm. essentially. And that's part of the beauty of minimalism, or that particular minimalist technique. So we're about to listen to America from West Side Story, which goes between, I suppose, the da 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 dee dee da 6/8 and da 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 3/4. So in a way, it's an example of mixed meter. Mm-hmm. And what I love, though, is right at the beginning, you have a glorious example, and this is often overlooked, of polyrhythm. Because, you've got a Latin clave rhythm, which is da 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 da. And then against that, you've got crotchet triplets, I think, and then faster triplets, and it's just this beautiful haze of sound.
Yeah. Cool as anything, isn't it?
Yeah. Smoke on your pipe and put that in.
Yeah.
That phrase, I just want to work that into dinner time conversation at some point.
Or just like as you go, like, thanks for having me, smoke on your pipe and put that in.
Smoke on your pipe and put that in.
Yeah.
It's the marriage of the energy and the rhythm, actually, of the libretto with the energy of the music that works so well. But yeah, just coming back to that introduction where you've got the Latin American clave rhythm against all the swirling mists of sounds.
Mm.
It's just brilliant. It conjures the heat of the city, doesn't it?
Yeah, massively. And then when you get into the tune, you've got the same number of quavers in each bar, mm-hmm. but they're just felt differently.
Yeah.
It's like... Oh.
Support. And it's that syncopation in the second bar, the fact you're going, and that's in the score as well. You've got an added layer of interest and funkiness.
Interest and funkiness, that's great.
I tend to be drawn to composers who love experimenting with rhythm, and I just wanted to bring in Bartók here because he's a superb example.
Welcome, Bartók. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome to our conversation, Bella. And actually, I was going to feature him earlier after we were talking about the Bulgarian voices, because he too was fascinated by Bulgarian rhythms. And for his miniature pieces for piano, they're called Microcosmos, he comes up with 6 Bulgarian dances, each examining a different aspect of Bulgarian rhythm. And this one, it's number 1, looks at how you divide 9 beats again. And I mentioned this earlier, actually, but with 4 + 2 + 3. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Quite a simple device, but it takes a little while for our Western symmetrical ears, if I can put it that way, to just acclimatise. there's always an edge to the Bartok sound, even just in two lines on a piano, right?
Yeah. And it's weird because that you could sort of count it in nine, but it's way too hokey in nine. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But it's da ga da 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 da, and I'm banging myself on the head while I'm doing that. But it affects the way that you play it and perform it. Therefore, it affects the stresses on the beat and what the listener hears. And so it's a bit more jarring.
And if you combine that jarring quality with quite acid harmonies, as he does, you've got a very interesting listen.
Yeah.
I love that. It says so much with so little, in a way. And the collection of six Bulgarian dances are, they're little gems.
I have to as well say, put my 2 cents in for, there's two violins. There's some beautiful duets by Bartok as well. I say beautiful, sometimes weird, sometimes dark and scary, but that's also beautiful.
Should we end in a brighter place, do you think?
We may as well.
And, I mean, it doesn't get brighter than Welsh folk music, I think.
It's the top, the tippity top of the pyramid is the Welsh folk.
This is Calan, and I thought we could use this sound to see us out in a very different space. Now, you know members of the Welsh folk band Calan.
I know everyone. I'm so popular and entertaining and joyous. And
what are they like, Kaz? What are they like?
Very cool, way cooler than me.
Right.
Individually and collectively, they're just a cool people with amazing musicality and really good levels of groove, I'm going to say. They just feel it. And so it's a joy to watch.
And they're an award-winning Welsh folk band.
It's disgusting, isn't it? And they're nice and good people.
And that comes across in this song that we're going to see you out with. It's Hazen Quinns, and it's from one of their earlier albums. And actually, it's not doing anything particularly interesting rhythmically, apart from folk music, I think, always has a natural rhythmicity to it. But I just love the general feel of it and the sounds that they get out of their instruments. It's just so beautiful. Really, the prompt for me for this was to do a very belated, by the time listeners hear this, a very belated tribute to Dydd Santa Steinwyn, the Welsh equivalent of Valentine's Day, which is normally celebrated when, Has?
End of January?
Oh, we're way over.
But I love how you've just skipped past Valentine's Day, and instead of doing belated Valentine's, it's going to be belated Santa Steinwyn. So, yeah, perfect.
There's something more romantic about Dydd Santa Steinwyn for me anyway than Valentine's, which feels very sort of Hallmark cardy.
I know.
And commercial. I think there's something about the folk traditions about Santa Steinwyn, who we've said in previous podcasts was quite a forlorn figure, ending up marooned on an island off Anglesey, I think.
Once again, should we end this on an upbeat kind of attitude, please?
Back to the music. Back to the wonderful sounds of Calan. Thank you, listeners, for joining us on this one. Next time, we'll be looking at the properties of melody.
Ooh.
So lots to explore there. So until next month.
Hoi lam tro.